And look at this truck. Oh, my God. He can't do anything. He can't do anything.
Cars and semis smashing into each other on both sides of the freeway.
Can you get out? Get out of your vehicle. Hurry up.
Get out.
Got to get out. Watch yourself.
When the crashing finally ground to a halt, 193 vehicles were piled up on I-94. A truck driver was killed, and 22 others were sent to the hospital. Michigan State Police are still investigating the chain reaction crashes, but the Michigan Department of Transportation quickly blamed driver behavior and speed for the pileup. And with that crash fresh in our minds, along with the 27-vehicle crash the very same day on U.S. 23 near Ann Arbor, and more recent multi-vehicle crashes in Pennsylvania and Oregon, we wondered, have our driving habits changed? How? And are we not being taught basic safety rules in driver's ed? Lieutenant Dale Hinz is with us. He is the commander of the Michigan State Police Post in Paw Paw. Good to have you with us, Lieutenant.
Good to be here.
And Ray Bingham is here. He's a transportation safety and behavioral research professor at the University of Michigan. Thank you so much, Ray, for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Lieutenant, you have been with the MSP for 21 years, and I have to imagine you've seen it all on the roads and freeways. In your experience, how bad was that 94 scene?
I've never seen anything quite like the 193-vehicle pileup that we had on January 9th. The fact that it also involved a hazardous materials tanker that was leaking and then caught on fire, as well as a semi-load of fireworks, really drew a lot of our resources out there, and it was probably the most complex crash scene that I've ever investigated.
And I know investigating is still continuing. How far have investigators gotten in reconstructing the crash and figuring out exactly how this happened?
Right now, we're still in the process of getting the victim and witness statements together, and we're combining those with the graphics that we're putting together with the vehicles where they came to final rest. In addition, we're downloading the black boxes, the computers from the vehicles that were involved. So that's where we're at right now. It's an extremely involved investigation, and it will take us probably about a month to put all of that together.
Just recap for us, what were the road and weather conditions on that stretch of 94 on January 9th at the time?
Heavy snowfall. The roadways were snow-covered and slippery, and we also had windy conditions to compound the problem. Temperatures were about 6 degrees Fahrenheit, so it was extremely cold, and the traffic volume was relatively heavy. Obviously, it was a recipe for disaster on that Friday.
And it wasn't long before the Michigan Department of Transportation statement was, hey, people were driving too fast and following too closely. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that preliminarily. We have some in-car video that shows the exact conditions at the time of the crash, and it's from one of the semi drivers that was out there, and you'll see that he was driving responsibly, and he's actually able to stop without piling into the melee in front of him.
Ray Bingham, as you study transportation safety and driver behavior, I'm really interested in getting your thoughts on not just this accident, but these other multi-vehicle accidents and overall driver behavior. And I'm wondering, have you seen not only behavior, but safety knowledge change?
There's a natural tendency for people, they take driver's ed at a young age, and then they acquire a lot of driving experience, and what they interpret as risk and how they reinterpret what they learned in driver's education will influence their behavior.
Well, I put this story up on Facebook when the first statement came from MDOT about people driving fast and following too closely. And I was stunned with the burst of comments and reaction and people basically saying, I see this all the time. I try to keep a safe distance between the car in front of me. And inevitably, somebody whips right in there and takes up that safe space. And, Lieutenant, I was taught in driver's ed you needed to keep one car length distance for every 10 miles an hour you're driving, no matter what the conditions. And it was interesting, anecdotal conversation with some younger drivers I know kind of revealed they had no idea of that rule, of that one for every 10 miles an hour. That rule hasn't changed, has it?
It really hasn't, no. And like you said, that's in good conditions. So when you have conditions like presented themselves on January 9th, you need to increase your following distance even more.
I just wonder, where's this disconnect? Somebody on the Facebook comment said, you know, I always try to be safe and keep a car's length away, but I know we've taken driver's ed out of the schools and now it's private companies. Are people getting maybe uneven and differing instruction, Ray?
Well, I think the state does what it can to ensure that everyone gets the same type of instruction. They have a general curriculum that all the instructors have to follow. What we know from the research is that there really isn't a net improvement in safety for people who take driver's ed. Driver's Ed does some things very, very well. It introduces all of us to the same set of rules, of standards for driving, and I think that is probably beneficial on a social level because it sets up some expectable behavioral responses for us on the road.
But somehow, as you say, as we get on and maybe we get a little more cavalier after we drive, and are we in that bubble of, well, not me?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. On an individual basis, a motor vehicle crash is a very rare event. So any individual driver might go 5-10 years without ever being even in a fender bender. They might go an entire lifetime without being in a serious crash. And so as a result, what we interpret that to mean is, oh, all these things I'm doing that people have told me I shouldn't, whether it was in driver's ed or elsewhere, haven't gotten me in trouble. They can't possibly be that risky. That feeds into a false sense of security. It results in people doing things while they're driving that would be better if they didn't, like following too close or using their cell phone to talk or text. And then all of a sudden they find themselves in a crisis situation that rapidly escalates the risk and there's a crash.
Lieutenant, what do you see day to day in the kinds of stories that you've observed and as you talk to drivers? Besides the base of knowledge, have you seen a change in, for lack of a better word, aggression or me-firstedness? I'm coining a phrase.
What we've seen is there's a lot more hustle and bustle in everyone's daily activities now, and everyone is always, it seems, late to get to somewhere. And so it becomes that me-first mentality where whatever I'm doing is most important, and I'm really not worried about what the other motorists are doing. We also see that in combination with folks like Ray mentioned there. They think that they're better drivers than what they really are, quite honestly. And so they think it will never happen to me.
And I'm wondering how to protect myself. And those of us, and I always try to keep that, you know, big, long 7-8 car lengths distance. And whoop, somebody will whip right in there. I was noticing it as I was driving to Ann Arbor today. How do you protect yourself from the people who squeeze in front of you and all those who are dogging you from behind?
The main thing is to keep your head about you and to not take offense with someone else's driving habits. What you need to do is continue to fall back if people cut you off and decrease your safe following distance, and you just need to take your time. I know it's much easier said than done.
I have to wonder, is some of this cavalier behavior due to the fact, Ray, that we've kind of turned our cars into rolling living rooms in the way that our parents and grandparents didn't? They got where they needed to go. But we've got, you know, video for the kids. We've got our internet radios. We've got entertainment options. We've got stuff to do. We've got cell phone, wireless, Bluetooth, all this stuff. And it's our rolling living rooms.
In the 1990s, there was some very interesting research that showed that people extend their personal space to encompass their vehicle. Yeah, it very much becomes an extended part of you. It isolates you from other people. You can treat people rudely on the road in a way that you would never do in a grocery line.
And then when you have a road rage incident erupt, I know, Lieutenant, I'm sure you've seen it firsthand what can happen. What do we want to learn from this? What do we want to take away, Lieutenant, from what happened? All of us who saw those videos that were shot and, you know, heard the exploding fireworks and you know, you think of being crushed between the fella in Oregon who was smooshed between two semis and happily walked away with a couple of scratches. But what do we need to take away from this?
We need to consider that it could happen to us when we're driving out there. And I think if you ask those 193 motorists that were involved in this crash, none of them planned on being in that crash that morning. We have to realize that we are mortal, and this can very easily involve us. And then, obviously, safe driving habits. Increase your following distance. Decrease your speed. Always drive within your capabilities and your vehicle's capabilities.
Ray, do we see auto technology coming that might help us, save us from our own bad behavior? That might actually, where the vehicle might take over and reduce the chances of this kind of thing happening?
It's going to be a long time before we have technology in the cars that would keep control of the car in a situation like slick roads. that's when the car is going to hand control back to the driver. So while the capability, the technology might be there to keep people safe, it doesn't mean they'll use it. And if they're in traffic in the morning and they're late for work and they've got the car on the automated setting, and the car's kind of optimizing, it's keeping safe distances and not going too fast, they're going to switch it off.
And in the interim, Lieutenant, how has this accident changed the way that the MSP will be patrolling I-94 in West Michigan, the area where you cover?
We've always made this stretch of roadway our focus, and we'll be doing even more of that in the future. Last summer, we recognized the problems with crashes out on that particular stretch of I-94, and so we did a traffic safety initiative to target aggressive driving, speeding, folks not wearing their safety belts, and similar violations. This summer, we're also going to incorporate some videotaping of drivers texting while driving.
Ray Bingham is a transportation safety and behavioral research professor at the University of Michigan, and Lieutenant Dale Hinz commands the Michigan State Police Post in Pawpaw. It was a pleasure to talk with both of you. Thank you very much.
And thank you.
Thank you.